Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I'm your host, Brian Scott. Today I have a variety of Quo channelings ranging from 1985 to 2008, dealing with a variety of topics. There is so much that Quo and the number of entities that they speak through talk about, and it's really hard to gauge what's the best to talk about next. So there's a variety of stuff here, but I found it all to be powerful and unique. We begin with a channeling done in March of 1985, where it begins with Hatton, who will normally just begin speaking at the beginning of the channeling. Carla channeling says, "I am Hatton, and I greet you in the love and the light of our infinite creator. It is a joy to be with you and to regale you with our few poor thoughts. As always, we ask that as we speak to you, you take what you can use and discard that which is not useful to you at this time. We bear no authority greater than yourself, and we ask for you to use your powers of discrimination. For we, like you, are travelers upon a journey that shall not end as far as our understanding goes, a journey that moves forever through time and space and beyond time and space, through dimensions and beyond dimensions, through creation and beyond this creation into the next. We speak with old souls, and we are old souls, for we are all at the beginning of this creation. And it is all of us, and all of you, and all of those upon your planetary sphere, who shall fashion for themselves a way of being, a way of living, a way of adoring and caring and chiding and feeling affection and being afraid, of being sad, a way of living and dying. All of these things you fashion and shall continue to fashion, each in our own way, for you are co-creators of your mutual destinies, you who walk together upon this road. This road is as a seamless garment, a skin, shall we say. There is no hole or broken place within the fabric of your spirit or your spirit's experiences within this illusion. Many things may seem to be broken and need to be made whole, but in fact, this is illusion and not the reality. It is for this reason that occasionally miracles, so-called, do occur. We would speak with you this evening about those things that do occur within each of your minds that cause judgment to occur. We would tell you of the small boy who asked to go into the road and play. Absolutely not, his mother tells him. The boy is too young to understand that her meanness is the means of his survival. I have just lost my job, wails the young woman, but this causes the young woman to think about what she wishes to do with her life. And in years to come, she has forgotten the pain of being without a future and has begun to enjoy having a past. We would point out to you that the master known to you as Jesus could have judged himself to be in a sorry state indeed, for he was scourged and beaten and nailed upon a cross until he was inanimate as the wood which bore him. And yet, the great triumph of resurrection could never have taken place had all that passed not occurred. We see the circle of each of your lives, the circle of judgment, of poor things which turn out to be so helpful, and of seemingly excellent things which turn out to be worthless. And we would point out to you that judgment is a good thing to practice upon, but is almost never correct, for the balancing between the good and the bad in each thing that occurs will go on within the widening ripples of your life patterns until the pond ripples no more for each. Let us turn now and see that which is beyond judgment, that which you may do to more carefully polarize yourself and align yourself with that which is the great and limitless light of the one infinite creator. That, my friends, has to do not with action but with intention. What you intend in a polarized manner when you begin to act or when you think of acting or when you hold someone in your thoughts is that lever by which you polarize your own being in the service to others or the service to self away. It is your choice, the choice which most of your peoples make. That is, not to choose is acceptable. It is not, however, a particularly rapid way to work one's way through the lessons of love, which are the lessons of your destiny, until you can graduate and go on to another school, another dimension, another set of lessons, those having to do with wisdom. You shall not be wise in third density. This is a given. This is a part of the density which you inhabit. if you work and give of yourself to the effort of being loving, no matter how poorly or how well your actions are realized, you shall have polarized. When one does all that one can do, that is the end of the ripple. Now, you must understand, shall we say, that this action will inevitably produce in each seeker a veritable melee of judgments. You judge yourself, you judge others, you judge ideas. Most of all, you judge whether or not you are polarized. We urge you to look upon these exercises as a type of spiritual inertia which pulls at you, drags you back, and is basically counterproductive. Nevertheless, that you have offered, being loving, cannot be taken from you, for it becomes a part of the vibration and the patterns of vibration which form the field of energy, which form that which is called you in this destiny. Because judgment is never particularly useful and is often a painfully strong deterrent to one's own progress, we urge each to rest the judgmental faculties. Mind you, we are not urging you to cease from discriminating betwixt one thought and another. We simply ask you to ride the mare, not for the mare to ride you. Let us be more specific. Your intellect and all that goes with your intellect, as opposed to all that goes with your character, is a tool. It was crafted by you through many experiences and is part of that which is manifest and realized in this incarnational experience. It is a tool for you to use, and it is a good tool. However many there are among those who seek spiritually who allow the intellect to ride them. This is not an infrequent thing at all, and indeed in those who have had some experience in attempting to govern the mind, it's certainly not surprising. But we urge you to temper that intellect, to ask yourself, am I thinking or am I feeling? To ask of yourself, is my thinking bent upon aiding either myself or another in spiritual growth? These answers are most important, not just to you, but to those lives you touch, for indeed you can give nothing but yourself. There are many who would wish to give you gifts. There are many whom you would wish to give gifts. The effective gift is that of yourself. Therefore, the first person to practice your lack of judgment and your acceptance upon you is you yourself. Have you allowed yourself to shine forth today? Have you allowed laughter to bubble in your voice, joy to fill your eyes? Have you listened and looked and heard and seen the music and the joyful alleluias of the creation, the nodding flowers that bend toward the uncertain sun of spring? The first willows that wave their greening branches over the road you travel. The dramatic skies that give you rain and offer nurturing to your new crops. Have you allowed yourselves to be ministered unto by the creation? For only in doing this can you then turn and offer yourself in ministry to others. Whatever it is that feeds you, turn to it, allow it to fill you with the love of the Creator, and then allow that love to shine through you. We do not need to tell you that of yourself you cannot do this, for human love is short-lived, and human expectation tremendously long-lived. Love can never meet expectation. We would, as we gaze upon your peoples, almost wish that the planet upon which you live could see itself as bitten by a snake, so that the people could begin to take restorative action to contain that poison which is judgment, and to release into the body the antitoxin, love. Ah, my friends, the flowers shall bloom, the crops shall mature, and you, who are the greatest crop, you shall bloom and mature also. How effective do you wish to be today? How would you like to greet tomorrow's sun? The willow has already made up its mind. It will turn towards the light. Shall you? Before we go further, we would wish at this time to spend a few moments acquainting each in the room with our particular vibration. If there are any untoward effects, mentally request that we adjust the rate at which we are contacting you, and we shall do so immediately. We shall pause at this time that we may greet each of you and allow you to feel our presence. I am Hatan. I'm again with this instrument. I am Hatan, and again greet you in love and light. It has been such a privilege to speak with each of you. If we may leave one thought with you, it would be to request that in your priorities for each day, the first priority be meditation. The world about you, that is the world that seems to be about you, is always a steward with small and large issues of the day. Even the insects, the birds, make their noises and do not go away. Within yourself is the only solitary place where one may go and shut the door and open to that beauty, that power which is the Creator, and that one great original thought of the Creator which is love. You shall not find yourself able to escape judgment. You shall not find yourself able to escape folly, and your life and death are but a tiny parenthesis in infinity. And yet within yourself lies the access to that infinite portion of you, which is the Creator, which dwells in the Creator and which indwells within you. Meditate, open inwardly, and then, my friends, turn towards the friendly sun or smile at the raindrops that nurture those crops that are working to break the soil. Nothing is what it seems. All things are what they seem. We offer this as the one paradox that is repeated over and over. Judge all you can. There will always be another side. Love all you can and your lives shall be transformed. We leave you, my friends, in the love and light of our infinite Creator. Adonai, my friends. Jim begins channeling and says, I am Latwi. And we greet you, my friends, in that same love and light of our one infinite Creator. We are grateful once again to have been asked to join your group and to offer our simple service of attempting to answer those queries which you may have value in the asking. We echo our brothers and sisters of Hatan in suggesting that you use discrimination as you listen to our words, for we are but fallible pilgrims upon the same journey with you in the seeking of truth. Carla then asks, Latwi, I greet you in the path of love and light, and light and love of the one infinite Creator, and I was wondering if you might explain the White Brotherhood. I am Latwi and am aware of your query, my brother. There are various distorted perceptions of this group, which is loosely called the White Brotherhood or the Great White Brotherhood among the peoples of your planet, for it has existed for a great portion of what you call time, and through various means has had its expression in the service of the one infinite Creator. There have been many efforts in this expression through the various channels and means presented to those who are of this grouping. There has been upon your planet for a great portion of its third density experience those of its population who have, through their own seeking, been able to, shall we say, harvest themselves and enter that dimension which awaits your population as a whole at this time. Within what you might call the inner planes of your planetary influence, these entities then have gathered themselves and have chosen to focus their attempt at serving others in whatever means has been available. Many of your peoples have been contacted in what you call the dreaming state, others in the meditative state, and others in intuitional attunements or moments of inspiration. The purpose of each contact has been to answer a call. Those who call of your population seek the love of the one Creator. Those of the so-called White Brotherhood then, receiving this call, move to answer in whatever fashion can be understood by the one who calls. Thus, within the inner realms of your planetary influence, this grouping of light beings seeks to share that which has been their privilege to obtain as the understanding of compassion and love, those lessons of your particular illusion. Question, is the bulk of the majority of the White Brotherhood located on Earth or in other planets or in another dimension? I am Latwi and am aware of your query, my brother. Again, in this response, we find the possibility of distortion. For as we have said in our previous response, many are the perceptions of this grouping of entities, and indeed this grouping of entities is joined from time to time by others who also seek to share the light, which has been found in the personal evolutionary process. Those who join from time to time that grouping called the White Brotherhood may be from a variety of locations and points of experience. To be generally correct, we may suggest that the heart of this White Brotherhood in its number of member entities is of your planetary influence and exists within the inner realms or time-space portion of your planetary experience. Question, is the White Brotherhood primarily, do they utilize themselves as spirit guides or are they of a different type of influence? I am Latwi and we can in general suggest that those of the group, the White Brotherhood, do not in general serve as what we understand you term the spirit guide. That is the, shall we say, angelic presence or collection of such which moves within each entity upon your planet for the purpose of providing guidance where possible and protection where possible. These of the White Brotherhood, on the other hand, may be considered as, shall we say, resources which may be called upon by a specific and purified seeking or working of what you may call the adept. Those of the White Brotherhood then are more general in their effect, in that their service moves to, shall we say, blanket your planet, but is the result of a more specific and purified calling than an entity would normally make in its daily round of activities, that round which is more properly the sphere of the spirit guides, as you have called them. Question then, all the white brotherhood are of at least fourth density or higher? I am Latui, and this is basically correct, for these entities have in their own experience been able to utilize the catalyst which is available within your third density illusion to the extent that now their understanding, shall we say, has reached a critical mass and has enabled them to welcome a greater portion of the love and light of the one creator which is available to all. Carla then asks, I'd like to know that too, because I saw today that Jesus was of the order of Melchizedek. That what is in the Bible? I am Latui, and once again, with this instrument, as it has completed its mechanical duties, we are aware of the query and shall do our best to provide a satisfactory response. Those of the Melchizedek thought, shall we say, are those entities who have found a particular philosophy to be of service to them in their own evolutionary process. Many have been the masters, as you call them, who have walked the surface of your planet in third density vehicles. These entities are of various origins, many without your planetary influence. The one known as Melchizedek was, as you call it, a master who had consciously followed a certain philosophical path which served to discipline the mind and the personality, which expressed the mind so that third density entities could, in a conscious fashion, accelerate the evolutionary process that each, either consciously or unconsciously upon your planet, takes part in. These entities are a grouping which is usually placed within the ancient mystery schools, those places of learning which existed from great and times within various cultures, histories upon your planet, for always there have been the seekers of truth, and time to time in various places these seekers have organized themselves in societies and schools which have sought to preserve and pass on those truths, shall we say, that have honored to gather. The one known as Jesus was as one who sought from many schools the knowledge and the expression of the one creator that is called love. Many were the places and schools which this entity visited and at which this entity learned as a portion of its evolutionary process. Question: may I ask if there's any sort of differential in awareness or possible harvest into fourth density among the various religions, whether it be Hindu, Buddha, Christianity, or whatever, or Muslim? Whatever, as far as that sort of level of awareness necessary for harvest, etc. I am Latui, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. Each vine has its fruits. Each vine has those branches which are pruned or which die from lack of light, shall we say. Each religion, as you have called it upon your planet, offers to the pure seeker of truth a path to the infinite. Upon any path, whether it is organized as a religion or formed as a personal expression, will have the side roads, shall we say, which can in some degrees lead one astray. Yet to the persevering and constant seeker who utilizes the will to know and the faith that knowing is possible, the rejoining of the path which is straight and narrow then occurs. Carla then says, well, before you go, I'd like to ask a follow-up to the question about the brotherhood. I've noticed that whether it's in Peru or Tibet or Mount Shasta, that the teachings of the White Brotherhood or the Brotherhood of the Seven Rays or the Ascended Masters always seem to take place in mountains or on mountains. I wonder if that's a third density fact. In other words, the high altitudes are more spiritual, or if it's a concept of the highest and most high that is just personified by mountains. I am Latui, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. We find that in some degree, each of your assumptions is correct. There is within the mountain terrain the symbolic path of the seeker of truth. The seeker who travels the conscious path of attempting to express and experience that known as love is one which shall find itself twisting with a sinuous path, discovering boulders that seem impassable, and shall occasionally find itself tired and worn beyond its belief that it can continue. Yet the upward trail lies before it, and after a rest, the seeker then continues this journey, leaving behind it the great expanse of that which is the manifested illusion, moving towards that which is more, shall we say, substantial in the spiritual or metaphysical sense, until it finds itself within the rarefied atmosphere which provides the widened point of view. The perspective possible from the mountaintop is like unto that ability to love with a wider perspective to accept that which seemed unacceptable, to forgive that which seems unforgivable, to have compassion for that which seems deserving of none. There is another reason which has brought many seekers to the mountainous region, and that is the solitude which such regions provide, that the entity may in a sense withdraw from the world and focus its being and expressions upon the seeking of the one creator, which is more difficult within the more densely populated portions of your planet, for there the distractions are multiplied. This seeming separation of the seeker from those about it is only illusory separation. However, a separation from the husks of the illusion and a true joining with the heart of all those about it, a joining in love. Moving to channeling in May of 2003. The question today has to do with the concept of free will as regards to how the Confederation of Planets in the service of the One Creator has related to the population of planet Earth for as long as there has been a relationship. Considering all the dirty water, the dirty air, and the nuclear proliferation, warfare, disease, poverty, and so forth that are rampant upon our planet now, especially after the graduation of the harvest, we are wondering, are there any circumstances under which the Confederation of Planets would consider abridging free will and stepping in and cleaning up the air, cleaning up the water, destroying nuclear weapons, providing food and services for people that need it? Or is there some other consideration that we should think about? Carla Channeling says, your query this day revolves around that very topic of free will, and so we are delighted to share some thoughts upon this most interesting and very rich topic of conversation. First, we would look at free will without looking further than the creation itself. See, the Creator's self prior to the creation, which includes that which emanates from the Godhead principle in the many, many sparks of the Creator, which you see about you as stars, planets, and those entities about you who are yourself and other selves. In this pre-creation Godhead, the deity's first distortion from absolute and complete unity was free will. It was this principle which allowed the Creator to ask, who am I? And to follow through on that question by the very personal and utterly committed act of entering that question into the vibrations of self, which the deity experienced upon asking itself that question. That which it was able to think was the original thought, and that thought, as we have said many, many times, was the pallid word love. Now, the love of a creator is a love that cannot be said to be pallid, for it creates, it destroys, it makes manifest, it hides, it is mystery, it is experience, it is nothing, it is everything, yet this thought has a certain vibration. This vibration has the power to create movement. Movement is that distortion that you call light. So creator, then free will, then the logos, then light in the manifest universe. That is the progression we would describe to you as a way of saying that free will is not binding merely upon us. It is the first and primal characteristic of the creation of the Father, or that which this instrument often calls the logos or the Godhead principle. It is the nature of the Creator. It is the nature of the Creator's parts. The question of intervention contains distortions along certain lines which we would like to explore. Your query had to do with the situation might be within which we would find it possible or desirable to abrogate the free will of those entities upon your sphere which are imposing these difficulties and distortions upon the hapless remainder of the body of population of humanity upon your planet. However, this query is a query which in its very nature asks that which cannot be answered, for it is not possible for each of you to remove from yourselves the privilege, the responsibility, the honor, and the duty of serving as witnesses to the light at this location which you now enjoy, at this time and in the situation which you now enjoy. Upon the level of the surface life, upon the level of your mass media and the details of politics and policy, it is indeed clear that your sphere is controlled by the few, for the sake of the few, and to the detriment of many. Gazing at the earth sphere from the stance of spiritual responsibility or maturity, there's another picture entirely. In this picture, no power is given away to any thought, form, or actual entity. Rather, each is in relationship with the power, the discipline, and the focus of the self. Insofar as there is no discipline, then there is likely to be very little power. However, your environment is an environment in which the planetary venue was chosen, and the ingredients of the life experience of each of you were chosen for an agenda which only peripherally involves the way of politics, policy, and power. In the outer sense, rather, each of you came here to dig a bit deeper within your particular bit of the Godhead principle, that which you have chosen to filter into incarnational existence within the carriage of the personality shell, welling up within the earthly home of your body, that structure that houses and carries you about. Each of you came here hoping to use the illusion's corrosive and harsh ways to thrash and pound and uncover the jewels of creatorship within the ore of self, within the rubble of bits and pieces of the shale of the details of the day and the gravel of what do I do for a living. There lie great jewels within each, undiscovered facets of self, undiscovered crystalline formations, nuggets of insight, awareness, and realization. Many of these insights are very close to the surface and have been salted within the soil of your most available levels of subconscious mind by the self before incarnation, in order that each of you might have real fruit from the digging, real substance from the probing and the examination of the thoughts of the self. When this work is done deliberately, consciously, and over a period of what you call time, the energetic body of an instrument of light begins to tune itself as would the piano tuner tune the wire. Tuning until the pitch is tight for that wire. Each of you has a true pitch and you are tuning that tone of self as you seek the way of the Creator within. As you dig with a trowel of who am I and the weeder of what am I doing here, you are preparing the ground and planting the seeds that blossom into the gifts that you came to share. The essence of self that blossoms into the committed and loving compassion of those dwelling within the illusion, but knowing that they are not trapped in the illusion. The one known as E reached for his pillows of faith and hope, those words written upon those particular pillows. And we encourage each to take those pillows, those words, those tools, those resources that hearten and strengthen each of you. For you came here to be strong. You came here to offer the power that is yours in active and personal compassion that reaches out and embraces the planet and its peoples. Not because there is a wish to rescue them or to change them in any way, but because entities are there to love, just as the you are the object of the love that is all about you, not simply from those entities within the flesh that may express love in their halting words, but more from those entities which are unseen and whose presence uncovers in silence the state of unconditional love in which the self can finally feel safe, secure, and able to rest within that holy place that is the heart of self, the heart of the planet, the entity of self, the entity of the planet. These, not one thing, need we intervene to rescue your planet when there are millions of sparks of the Creator upon your planet which are capable of tuning themselves until they burst forth into the most beautiful and harmonious song of love that the world has ever felt. Each of those awakening upon your planet at this time, and there are many, is awakening at a time when the aura of fear, terror, and discomfort has never been greater among your peoples. Even under this barrage of fear and negativity, entities are awakening because of the service of those who are already awake, those who find ways to express the thoughts that encourage and cheer, hearten and strengthen the light within those with whom they come in contact in one way or another. It is easy to think very quickly of the performers, the singers, the dancers, those who are very visible in public situations as being good examples of those who use their power well. Yet each time the one known as G, for instance, offers heart and car ride and help to an entity whose name is not known but whose heart is, the universe has become a sweeter place. Each time that each of you smiles at the stranger who frowns at you, who offers a soft word in response to a harsh one, each gentle or loving act of friend to friend, as in the one known as Jay, who generously offers her bodywork to this instrument's most accepting vehicle, is making the world a more tuned and peaceful place in which to dwell. One cannot address your world situation, may we say, to use a cliche, upon the level of the rescue of third density. Entities shall move into fourth density no matter what happens to your sphere, as the density changes and they will repair the planet with the planet's cooperation. Indeed, many entities, even now, are repairing their little bit of the planetary surface by loving and talking to the Earth, by cooperating with what this instrument would call nature deities or divas, by relating to the surroundings of self with the understanding that all things are alive, all things work in rhythm and in harmony, and all things except those sunk in the mire of third density forgetting not only love each other, but know that they are one. In this atmosphere, the possibilities of becoming a powerful, magical person are great. And as the time sharpens, the focus right unto the moment of birth of fourth density, there is, in effect, a fourth density energy that is now as real upon your sphere as the third density energy. It shows up within the physical world only by creating anomalous effects in terms of physics, subatomic particles, but it shows up within the inner life of that wonderful, multi-layered being that each of you is in a much more clear and obvious way. As the interpenetration of the two densities becomes such that it is much easier for nature or for the forces of coincidence to work in order to bring others to your attention, which you have asked to be brought to your attention. That is why in the midst of such challenging times, such times of transformation and change, yet still each of you has had the feeling of entities helping along the way, unseen hands giving a boost and angelic guidance coming through unexpected and unusual means. The Bogest of each of you at this time is, among other things, to reclaim and recapture your own freedom of will at the level of spiritual endeavor, at the level of will, at the level of choosing to become personally involved in compassion toward entities of flesh and blood and bone. Move into active compassion. Focus upon the eyes within the photographs of the media rather than the details of horror and terror. Focus upon the process of souls learning, being transformed, and being lifted away into new lessons and new densities. Many are those who have already been cleared out of third density and into a fourth density environment. Many are those who are coming back at this time with the altered DNA possible with fourth density consciousness. The so-called indigo children and crystal children are those who have been harvested and have begun their new life in a new density in which they begin as the equivalent of an indigenous species within the context of fourth density life. Each of you has perhaps an overweening opinion of the gadgets and trickery of the present level of technological expertise of your peoples. Yet indeed, the next level of expertise flows with cooperation with the light rather than control of the light, and this in turn opens those abilities which create the impression that that which you think of as advanced technology is in fact the knife, the flint pounder, the fish hook. Much simplicity lies in true love. Living in this simple atmosphere of the open heart, entities are able to do precisely that which they can focus into love with all their hearts and release all attachment concerning outcome. This instrument, for instance, has great hopes to serve the planet by the campaign of information and persuasion, which would coax all entities into tuning to that harmonic tuning of love and light and personal compassion, which is the true tuning for you. Yet she is aware that of herself, she can do nothing. But what she can do is pray daily, sincerely, wholeheartedly. Creator, teach me your ways. Show me the path that you have prepared for me to walk in. This, in a sense, is the giving over of the power into guidance. It is the taking of the power to ask for guidance and to use it. This is a different matter than asking to be rescued, because each feels powerless before the problems of the world. We assure you, in the ways of the Spirit, each is profoundly powerful. And as each becomes aware of the dynamics and the strength of groups who are together tuning their will to love, this power and this Bogest shall come clear and clear into the vision so that it can be seen in ways that are difficult to describe but very real. The vision is that the truth can never be hidden, that the light has never been extinguished by darkness, that all is well, and that there is the profound satisfaction and the responsibility of knowing that the combined energy of groups such as yours in coming together to affirm love, light, and unity have already made a tremendous difference in the progress of this shift into fourth density. For 2 decades of your time at least, we have seen that this instrument would call the rubber band effect. As the light generated by those who are awakening affected the planetary shift, so that it was as if the band was being released very slowly by a tiny increment each time. This is the reason for the many earthquakes and other changes in the planetary experience, none of which is so earth-shattering that it does indeed shatter the earth or remove the general population. Those who have been actively involved in this lightening of the vibrations of planet Earth are perhaps 5% of the population, and yet much has been accomplished because of a few. And that few has begun to grow exponentially as more and more entities begin to wake up, and then, by their influence, begin to lighten the atmosphere around them to enable others the freedom from fear which it takes to begin to wake up. It is not for you to give up your free will, nor for us to intervene. Rather, it is for you, each of you, to move internally from the third density perspective to the fourth density perspective, gazing at this earth sphere of yours with a fourth density perspective. Each has a very sturdy point of land to stand upon to gaze at the chaos of your illusion. That land is the firm terra firma of the truth, that which you know. What is it that you know? What is it? When you dig within yourself and come to the center, what is that that you know? It is the Creator. When all is taken aside and the last veil is parted, that which lies within your heart, that which is your very nature, is the infinite Creator waiting for you. And in that place of the heart with the Creator, in that tabernacle of the Spirit, the difference between your free will and the Creator's free will falls away, and there is a love that exists that balances, heals, and restores. We encourage each to spend as much time as possible in the precincts of your own heart, for even a moment in that holy of holies that lies within, informs and enlivens the day, the experience, the reality, if we may call it, for an entity. By free will, each of you decided to come to try to make a difference, for each, for yourself, by learning, and for the planetary light by serving. These aspects of learning and service intertwine like the ropes of a strong ship's hawser and cannot be taken apart. Living, learning, and serving are all wounds in together, and there is no telling when one stops and where another begins. We assure you that all is well with your people. The harvest has grown substantially, and we are most pleased to see the situation as it is. From our standpoint, things look very good. The vibratory energy of your planet begins to lift. Much has been accomplished. Much has begun of goodness and substance. It remains for those of you awake to be aware of this time and its possibilities, to follow through day upon day and act upon act, year upon year, and thought upon thought, decade upon decade, and realization upon realization, that is the real heart of the job, the mission. The service is in the being, and in the being lies the tuning that will bring the earth and its peoples to health within early fourth density. This is early fourth density. You vibrate now in fourth density. Certainly your third density vehicles are having their challenges in accommodating the new vibrations, and yet the body is the creature of the mind. And as your consciousness begins to feel comfortable swimming in the waters of unconditional love, so the bodies shall find themselves more able to enjoy fourth density vibration. It is in your hands, each of you. We would not take this learning or this service from you. The energies of your planet at this time are, as this instrument has heard it described by her teacher, off on a sidetrack, a time lateral. The train of yellow ray third density earth has been shunted into a lateral experience by the determined and repeated actions of what this instrument called the sons of light and the sons of darkness, or those who promote peace and joy and those who promote war and suffering. In the outer sense, these few entities have again and again upon other planets and upon this one in many different societies chosen the ways of war and chosen them for reasons unknown to themselves, being manipulated by those far cleverer than they, who use the suffering and the pain of third density in its endless repetition of war as food. It is time to stop feeding fifth density entities who feed on fear. The only way to move back onto the normal time track of this planet is to find ways to lose fear and to respond to all situations, not with hesitation, but with confidence, not with feeling that something needs to be done, but with the knowledge that something is being done. It is being done with the mind and with the heart. The power of each to help each in these realizations is great. We are most pleased to encourage each to listen and to respond to each as the seeking and the process of learning go on. Each is teacher to each, and there is a circle of learning. Question? In the story of Job, God seemingly inflicts horrible events onto his faithful believer named Job. With regard to this parable, I have two questions. One, why was the Creator portrayed in such a dark manner? Is this story accurate? And two, does the Creator have a dark side, and what is its nature? I am Quo, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. The story, which is spoken of in the book of Job, in your holy work known as the Bible, is an example of the entities that were of what we call the negatively oriented nature, who were attempting to pose as your Creator in order to control the actions of many of the peoples that you may refer to as the Jewish race of that time, who had long established relationship with many sources of information from elsewhere. The experience of the one known as Job was along the lines of giving and taking in order to control the behavior of these entities. There is, of course, a source of love which is truly of the one Creator, which has, as you have mentioned, a complete identity, and that it is of all things, both manifest and unmanifest, that which you call the light and that which you call the dark. However, there are lesser entities who have traveled from distant star systems to various planetary spheres, such as your own Earth, and have placed themselves in the position of one which would be the one Creator in order that they might exercise a kind of control over those entities they were able to convince to worship them as the one Creator. We apologize for the somewhat scattered nature of this instrument's work this day. He is somewhat distracted, and we have been able to utilize this entity in some degree of effectiveness. Carla then says, okay, just on my own hook, my question would be, given that I perceive the pyramids with the knowledge that they would be a complete mystery, and given the knowledge that the time for the pyramids is over, I was thinking that the crop circles are one of the Confederation's ways of actively putting mystery into the fabric of our third density experience, so that in actuality, in your own way, you are continuing to offer mysteries for us to solve or to use. Would you say that is accurate? I am Koa. I'm aware of your query, my sister. Indeed, this is one of the means by which mystery has been presented to your peoples by some of those in the Confederation of Planets in the service of the One Infinite Creator. Concept of mystery is the opening into consciousness which we have found most effective to utilize, and it is that which seems to fuel the desire to seek further along the lines of love and light that so many of your people now express as a result of coming into contact with various sources of mystery. At this time, we shall take leave of this instrument and this group. We are known to you as those of Quo. We leave each in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator, Adonai. My friends, Adonai. So there's a lot to take from these channelings. We finally get their own explanation of the White Brotherhood, and a great question on why the White Brotherhood is always located in the mountains, as being both a symbolic and powerful place of solace. I really loved the second channeling that I read from, where there's a real question. Why can't you just come and help this planet out? You have the ability to, and you could just relieve so much suffering. You yourself could do such great service. And we get the idea that the Earth is really this illusory schoolhouse that has been created for us to learn, and it gives us the opportunity to be of service. And most importantly, we can solve these problems ourselves by coming together in groups and by focusing on love toward others. And the more that we come into this understanding of love, we can heal the planet. We can do anything that we want. And that's the powerful message given by that last channeling. Please share with me your favorite part of the channeling. If you have any suggestions or ideas of topics you want me to search for future channelings with Quo, I'd be happy to do so. In any case, you can find all episodes of The Reality Revolution at therealityrevolution.com. And welcome to The Reality Revolution.